Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's Wednesday, July the 19th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, the staff here at WILL will talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, they'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In between, we'll hear one of my favorite stories of all time. I pulled this one from the archive for you. As you know, I'm on assignment in the Ukraine this week. This story, produced right here in the state of Illinois, at Atlanta, at the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator and Museum, a magnificent story about a great place. Please stay with us for that tale today. Oh, and don't forget that Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, he'll join us after the bottom of the hour to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to commodity week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 agricultural podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
I'm Tom Rogers. We saw another drop in the markets for the most part, although corn staged a bit of a late-day rally, although they still failed to finish above yesterday's settlement prices. Before we go into that and talk to Paul Cooley, we want to remind you that there's a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for portions of northern and central Illinois and eastern Iowa until 8 o'clock this evening. Hail to 2 inches in diameter, thunderstorm wind gusts to 70 miles an hour, and dangerous lightning are possible in those areas. In the immediate AM 580 severe weather coverage area, the watch includes the following counties in Illinois: Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, and McLean. Remember, a severe thunderstorm watch means conditions are favorable for storms in and close to the watch area. Keep an eye on the sky for threatening weather conditions and stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest weather information and possible warnings. Severe thunderstorms can and occasionally do produce tornadoes. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for portions of northern and central Illinois and eastern Iowa until 8 o'clock Central Time tonight. Well, the wheat contracts ended lower both in Kansas City and Chicago. September wheat in Kansas City down 3.25 cents. The nearby wheat in Chicago on the Board of Trade down a nickel. September corn ended down 1.75 cents. It had been down a few more cents earlier in the day. December ended down 0.75 cents. The May contract up 0.25 cents. Soybeans for August ended down 3.25, as did the September. November down 3.75. Joining us now to assess what happened today on the Board of Trade is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning. Good afternoon, Paul.
Tip of the hat to you, Tom. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Substituting for Dave for a change. And we saw that, everything started out lower today. And then it looked like there was a little bit of an uptick in the corn pit.
Yeah, there was a couple of advisory services saw some drier conditions in some of their models. The two or three private meteorologists that we follow, held their forecast basically the same. And of course, it is, as you mentioned, the northern tiers of counties in Iowa, and particularly the northeast quarter, and of course that big I-80 corridor north in Illinois and Wisconsin and the southern tiers of counties in Minnesota did get some good rain. The last forecast that I got to central Illinois is definitely in the hunt for a half to an inch and a half Friday through Saturday, and wow, what a tremendous benefit that would be, and even better chances for Little Egypt in southern Illinois. They're good listeners to WILL, and we have a lot of good customers down there, and they would also like to have a nice rain. And it does look like they'll get some rain. It's definitely the question mark that if we do get the big rain, Illinois could probably be headed to one of the largest corn crops in the history of the state. And I think that's one of the reasons why we did see this continuation in today's sell-off in the major pits in Chicago.
But the bottom didn't really fall out, mainly because of those extended forecasts?
You know, I think it's because of demand. And, you know, we're looking at a couple of things. The exports continue to be excellent. We're still at some very cheap prices as far as selling our commodities in the world market. The third thing, of course, is the industrial usage of ethanol. And there's all kinds of new ideas on expanding additional plants and building plants and getting a lot of new plants pushing the other older plants to the limit to get more of that product into the market chain. Also, I think an indirect factor is the stock market put in a nice performance. And, you know, the old days, a lot of times Wall Street and LaSalle Street go in the opposite direction. But, you know, my new theory is if it's good for Wall Street, it's also indirectly good for LaSalle Street.
Well, let's see how they assess that in the bean pit, where we saw another day of losses in the 3 to 4 cent range.
Yeah, you know, the positive side of the bean market is that we are seeing the U.S. beans are basically the cheapest beans in the world. The basis levels encourage China to continue to buy U.S. beans, and some of the market analysts are even saying we could even boost Chinese imports 0.5 to 1.5 million tons over what the U.S. government's indicating. But nevertheless, a good rainfall in the Midwest and the Delta will help to encourage more soybean production. The other factor is these cheap prices, particularly below the cost of production in South America, probably will prevent a big acreage increase and maybe even decrease acreage in South America. And that's also going to put a major floor under U.S. prices. So it all is starting to play out that we are looking at better times in years 2007 and 8 for the commodities raised in the state of Illinois.
What were the funds thinking today?
Well, the funds did continue to liquidate, and I think there was a vacuum where selling basically climax there during the middle part of the noon hour, and we did start to see this price rally. We did have a slight void in selling. We did have some people that put in orders early in the day for unchanged or a half cent under the close to a penny, and we did get filled. So that was good news for the people that were patient and waited to the end of the day. So it was a very active trade. The phones were extremely busy, and of course, the farmer and producer is waiting for more rain so they can make some very timely marketing decisions.
One thing I want to touch on before we take off is the mercantile exchange in the cattle market today, which has shot up.
You know, we did see this turnaround, and some of the fundamentals seem to be pretty sloppy in the cattle market. The only thing I could tell was it was all technical driven. And of course, the stock market. What's good for Wall Street's also good for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the cattle market. And we did see this price rally. Bernanke was basically saying, you know, interest rates, you know, or at least it quoted in the news wires, inflation will be under control, and of course that's good news for the beef industry, and there's no way to celebrate a good economy than have a nice beef steak on the table.
All right. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us every Wednesday on the Closing Market Report and every Wednesday morning on the Opening Market Report.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll have a look at the weather from Drew Lerner, the senior ag meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. AM 580's Mike Sola says for Illinois and Indiana tonight, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms in northern Illinois and northwest Indiana, elsewhere partly cloudy with lows from 68 in northeast Indiana to 77 in western Illinois. And a reminder, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, and McLean counties in our severe weather coverage area and points north in Illinois and Indiana until 8 o'clock tonight.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason, away this week on assignment in the Ukraine. From time to time, you produce a story that it just touches you in some unique ways. This is one of those stories for me. It's about an old grain elevator in Atlanta, Illinois. That thing was built in 1904, and it was closed back in the mid-1970s. In the early 90s there, a few of the townsfolks decided to save that aging building, and now it is on the Registry of Historical Places in the United States. I visited the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator and Museum quite some time ago and talked to Marge and James Coleman. They helped me to produce this piece.
I'm Paul A. Adams from Atlanta, Illinois. In about 1869, this east-west alignment of a railroad that extended from Terre Haute to Peoria was under construction, and the railroad promoters pointed out that why should these farmers around Atlanta be shipping their grain to Chicago and then transporting it back down to Peoria, Illinois to be processed at the mills and so forth. Well, this building is a little bit unique in that it in the early 1900s was a transition of trying to handle grains more in a bulk medium instead of sacking it up in sacks and moving it around or handling it so much. This was a mechanization of the handling of grain. Farmers normally stored their ear corn along in January and February of the year when the corn had dried out some in the cribs. It was possible to shell the corn and deliver it to central elevators such as this for transshipment to Decatur, Chicago, Peoria, and places like that. I think that one of the things that we don't quite remember clearly is that not many people stored grain in elevators at that time like we do now, because the corn, in order to keep when it was harvested in the ear, was probably 20 to 22% moisture, and the only way we had to dry it out was to put it in ear corn cribs, and the air flowing through the ear corn cribs dried the grain down sufficiently to get down, say, to 15-16% moisture level, and at that level it was possible to bring grain in and hold it a little bit in storage. But primarily these elevators were a transfer point from the farm to the processor, which meant we brought it into an elevator, loaded it in a boxcar, and moved it on. This building was appeared to be in rather sad shape, but the only parts of a sad shape, in my opinion, was the siding was well weathered and some of it was off, and the roof wasn't quite in good shape. But structurally inside, this is built to stand and stand. If you're going to pull it over, it probably just pull over in one big piece.
Dean May was really interested, one of the first ones that really wanted to save this elevator. The town was going to burn it down for a fire project, training project, and a group of us got together and we decided to form an organization, and we did, and it's Atlanta Preservation Council, Atlanta Historical Preservation Council. We did save the elevator. The city gave us the elevator because it had come to them. And eventually we were able to get a grant, and it was a matching grant. And we went out, solicited the people, and they helped us. We got very little money from big organizations or anything. We got very, very little. We really appreciate what the people did, because I said that we couldn't start out other places if we couldn't get the people behind us. And they have been behind us. And then we eventually we were able to get it on the National Historic Preservation, and we're very proud of that. And that didn't take very long. Our first checks were written in 1991, and by 1999 we had rededicated this elevator. The engine came from the Eminence Grain and Coal Company, which is about 3.5-4 miles out of town, and it was restored by Dean May, and he put it back in really wonderful condition, and that's how it got here. Volunteer work has gone in. The bricks in the engine building were all cleaned by volunteers in the cold old days. And we've had a lot of people volunteer their help on laying bricks and carrying mortar and fixing windows, and we have tried to keep it as historically as possible.
Well, I guess we might say it's just we enjoy showing people how it used to be done. I can't say primitive way, but somewhere between primitive and modern day, it was done through houses like this. Well, they stopped on the scale platform with the load originally, and then after they weighed and cleared the scale house, they'd drive on up in here and stop on the dump logs, and they'd trip it and run the load down in the pit. End of the leg, up in the bin.
The scales came from out in the country, and I was just riding my bike in the morning downtown, and there were four people walking around, and I had a feeling they had been from here, and I stopped and visited with them. Make a long story short, we came over in the afternoon, and the scales in the scale house was from a farm out in the country, and they didn't know their dad very well because their parents had divorced, and when they looked down in the scales, there was their dad's name with grain that he had brought to that farmer, and he kept all the list of grain and the weights, and I soon saw tears in their eyes. City Hall and the library, when they're open, you can always get someone there to call one of us who have a key to open it and show you around. It's always open during June, July, and August on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 3. But if anybody comes through, most people in town know who to call and get the elevator open. And I ride my bike around a lot, and I've gone home and gotten the key many a time, brought people down here, and I've had a wonderful time showing the elevator.
Here are a few facts and figures about the machinery in the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator Museum. That old engine, which operates the elevator, it runs at about 400 RPM and puts out an impressive 10 horsepower. It's a one-cylinder engine. The pulley system inside the building is driven by a single rope stitched together in a long loop 280 feet long. The total capacity of the elevator, 29,000 bushels. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market on this Wednesday is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
And good afternoon to you, too.
How are we looking as far as basis goes?
Well, the basis has weakened up a little bit here in the past week or 10 days, but I'm sure that it probably will continue to weaken up because this market has caused a little panic selling, this big drop-off. So we've had some farmers that have kind of been selling out of the bin, so I don't imagine we'll see much of a recovery here in the near term.
So farmers are selling.
Yes, they hadn't been up until the last couple of days, but yesterday and today, I think they just started getting a little scared, and I bought a good bit this morning, mostly cash. They're not doing a lot of new crop a little bit, but this market really got hurt, a little unexpected, but we can look back to last year on July the 18th, and we saw the same thing, so it's just kind of a repeat of last year.
What do they say as far as what it would take for them to sell again?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because most of this is technical. I mean, it's just fund liquidation. They've sold about 20,000 contracts of corn, and as far as this is just my own opinion, but I think the only thing that can really turn this thing around is a drastic drop in the crop conditions report on Monday, and I would think that it would be. This crop is definitely under stress with all this heat. The water we got last week has been long gone. Very little chances of rain tomorrow, so we may get a recovery and we may not, but when you're in a technical market, it's hard to say.
What's the processor demand like?
Well, of course, we don't ship a lot to processors, but the processor, as far as bean basis is concerned, the Illinois processors aren't getting that much better. The Indiana ones are, but as far as rail basis is concerned, it's just about stagnant in the last 2 weeks.
And what are your prices?
All right, cash corn today is $2.20, beans are $5.67, cash wheat is $3.20 today.
All right. Thanks for your time, Kay.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. State officials expect to find out Tuesday whether any of the four Illinois sites still in contention for a billion-dollar power plant will advance to the next round. Illinois has proposed building the so-called FutureGen plant in either Effingham, Marshall, Mattoon, or Tuscola. Governor Mitch Daniels has opened Indiana's first biodiesel plant, and he got a couple of free gallons of the fuel for his RV. Daniel says Evergreen Renewables in Hammond is the first of up to 18 biofuels plants that will be opening in Indiana by the end of next year. A state grant will enable University of Illinois researchers to get a better idea of what parts of Illinois would suffer most from an earthquake. The U of I's Mid-American Earthquake Center will use a $250,000 grant to study the vulnerability of buildings and other structures should an earthquake hit in the New Madrid seismic zone in southern Illinois. A federal Homeland Security grant to the U of I will go towards developing new ways to help academics find and analyze crucial research documents. The new Multimodal Information Access and Synthesis Center at the U of I aims to take data in a wide range of different formats and images and make them all easy to search for and to find. Center Director Dan Roth says the project will help national security efforts, but also benefit academic work as a whole. Attorneys say the Chicago City Council should consider paying reparations to the men who say police officers tortured them in the 1970s and 80s. Locke Bowman of the MacArthur Justice Center says the city should pay for counseling for the alleged victims. Thousands of people are attending an immigrant rights rally in Chicago today, and many are sporting signs with messages such as deportation equals broken families and we build your American dream. The activists gathered at a park on the city's west side and marched through the loop to the rally in Grant Park. The Cook County Board has picked Commissioner Bobby Steele to serve as interim president in place of the ailing John Stroger. The board's decision today comes a day after the Cook County Democrats picked Stroger's son, Chicago Alderman Todd Stroger, to run for the post in November. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Tom Rogers, in for Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at ag weather today is Drew Lerner, the senior ag meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Still rather sweaty around here, but you still say that we're going to have some relief coming in by at least here by this weekend.
Yes, actually, and that some of that relief is already going to be on its way in just a few hours. We have some thunderstorms that are going to work their way across northern Illinois that'll take that stickiness out of the air and put a lot of moisture into it. Again, condense it out is what I'm trying to say. That will generate some rainfall across the area. Northern portions of Illinois probably get some locally heavy rainfall over the next 12 hours or so. And right behind that will be some lower relative humidity and some cooler air that will be with us for a little while. It's going to feel like a definite refreshment, I think. We'll probably be in the milder air for a number of days, but it looks to me like we're going to find ourselves looking at a warming trend taking place late in the weekend. And early next week, that will bring not only the warmer air back into the region, but also higher humidity once again. So it is summertime, after all, and some of that stickiness is just something we're going to have to deal with.
What about some of the coverage as far as rain goes as we see that those fronts move in?
Yeah, I don't think that this particular rain event is going to be a real good one for the entire state. We're still going to have those pockets of dryness out there that are just not going to go away anytime real soon. It looks to me like maybe 30% of the state will probably see a half inch or more out of this particular set of storms coming up, and a lot of that will be in the north, let's say the northeastern one-fourth of the state perhaps. Other showers and thunderstorms occur elsewhere, but they're going to be more sporadic, and there's going to be a number of counties out there that go without any significant rainfall from this particular round. There'll be a little follow-up shot of precipitation possibly coming in behind it that will set off some shower and thunderstorm activity. Maybe tomorrow it'll be more focused on the southern parts of Illinois. So if central areas don't get a decent drink of water tonight, we're probably going to have to wait until sometime next week for a little better opportunity for that rain to come along. And the same kind of thing will be present on the Indiana side of the line, but Indiana's got much better soil moisture to begin with, so even though it's a little bit on the sporadic side, we're still going to see a continuation of pretty decent conditions over there.
And the promise of more heat next week means a little less moisture in the soil here, too, huh?
Yes, that's probably right. And certainly the western Corn Belt, where it's even drier still, precipitation bias here for the next full 7 days is just not very impressive. Mm-hmm. We'll get some showers to occur out there, but it's not going to have enough enough significance to it that we're going to be able to bolster soil moisture in a significant manner outside of what's occurred this morning in southeastern Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin. Even a large portion of Iowa will probably be drier a week from now than they are today. And even though we've talked a lot about the heat going away and relief coming on, those western Corn Belt crop areas aren't going to get a decent amount of rain, and the heat does come back into play for a 2 or 3 day period next week. So the situation may be even more stressful than what a lot of people are prepared for.
What about anything you have an eye on in the rest of the world?
Well, we're still watching a lot of areas, actually. Some of the winter wheat country in Argentina has not had enough precipitation so far this winter season down there to establish a good stand, and their wheat crop may not be headed for a very good year unless we can see an improvement in rainfall take place. Another big wheat-producing area is Western Australia. It's not only wheat and barley, but also canola there that has not established well. We're very late in the season now. A lot of the canola crop was never planted and probably won't be. Some of that wheat crop has been planted, but it isn't well immersed, and the stands are not very good. So, again, some lost production potential likely in those areas.
All right. Thanks a lot, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That's today's Closing Market Report for Wednesday. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather from the Closing Market Report on our website, willag.org. I'm Tom Rogers.